Please turn with me again to 1 Peter 5, reading the words of our text once more. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear congregation, if I were to ask you this evening, can you share with me a care, a burden on your heart? I don't think there would be a person here who would come up empty. We all have burdens. We all have cares. Our cares are different, and they vary in intensity. They vary in duration. They vary in number. Some have more than others. They vary in kind, in category, in type. But the common denominator is that we all have cares. And that makes a text like this tonight so universally suitable. Every text is, but here's one that we can identify with. And the Apostle Peter, as he writes to the church, in his day he knew this too. And at the end of this letter, he urges his readers to cast all their cares upon God. Verse 7. Let's look at that tonight under the theme, casting all your care upon him. And with God's help, first we'll see our cares, and the second we'll see our calling. First, our cares. The word for cares here can literally be rendered as anxious cares. The meaning in the Greek is that which is pulling you up. Heart. Something which is pulling you in two different directions. An anxiety, a struggle, a burden that's just ripping you apart. And the word in Greek has an A in front of it. You know what happens in English when you put an A in front of the word typical? It's not typical. So with this word, when you put an A in front of it, you got that pulling apart, not anxious. It means free of care. In Matthew 28:14, we have the Pharisees assuring the soldiers that if they lie about their sleeping on the job as they watch the sepulcher, and if that comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him, we will secure you. And the word used with the A in front of it will make you free of care. But here Peter uses the word without the A, full of care, anxious, concerned. Notice there's no if in this text. Peter doesn't say, if you have cares, cast them all upon him. He says, casting all your care upon him. He knows that they'll have cares. He knows that they do have cares. It's, as we said, the common lot for all people, isn't it? You can be a king, and you can be a beggar. You have cares. You can be a boss. You can be a worker. You can live in the city. You can live in the country. High and low, rich and poor, all have cares. Cares cut right through society, right the cross-section through all people, all have cares. Everybody seems to worry about things they can't change or can't control, and that doesn't always make it right. Our Lord says in Matthew 6 that we are not to be anxious for the things of daily life. And we do confess, after all, with Lord's Day 10, that rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat, drink, health and sickness, riches, poverty, it all comes not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. And yet we worry. and sometimes sinfully so. But there are also times in our lives when dark providences, when challenges come our way, which lead to these concerns, these questions, these cares. What kind of cares are you facing maybe tonight? Some of you may be weighed down by your finances, struggling to make ends meet, looking for ways to stretch the dollar, struggling maybe with debt, and it's going to be a real care for your family, trying to make ends meet. Or there is the care of troubled relationships. When your relationships with those around you, particular individuals, are strained, they're in tatters maybe, or fraying at the edges, or unraveling altogether. What a stressful thing it is to have to live or work with broken relationships. It's a care. Some of you may be going through great disappointment. Maybe you've had a setback, a turn in direction in your life, leading to great emotional upheaval, and you're being pulled apart. It's a care. Maybe you know the pain of betrayal when somebody you thought you could trust has turned against you and you're left reeling. I mentioned that Peter quotes from Psalm 55, and that's exactly what David felt in that psalm. His own familiar friend, Ahithophel, had turned his back on him during the rebellion with Absalom. For some of you, yes, many of you, face the cares of your health. Sometimes it's multiple things stacked the one on top of the other. Afflictions, physically, weakness of the mind or the body. Some of you maybe have constant pain. It goes with you wherever you go, a chronic illness that is with you for the rest of your life. Or the infirmities of old age which have come upon you. What a burden. What a trial this is to face. Maybe a disease and your life is turned upside down and you don't know what to expect or what will happen. It's a care. There's the constant care of a handicap or a disability. Living all day, every day with a physical or a mental limitation, or caring for those in your life who have them. Some of you know what this is like. What a care. Every day again, you wake up to face it. There are the cares of bereavements and loneliness that come with that. Widows and widowers, when a spouse has been taken away, or maybe a child has been lost, or a friend has been taken away, that loss sets in, it's so real. There's an empty place, and you feel that absence. The silence is so loud, and you're lonely. Or maybe you're lonely because you've never had a spouse. Or maybe you've never had the pitter-patter of little feet in your house because you're weighed down with the care of childlessness. And then there's the care on the other side. When a child grows up and says farewell to the church, a wayward child, what a care. You'd give anything to have that child return to the Lord's ways. What a burden. There's the care of our daily work. Sometimes stressful times. Maybe the care of whether work will come, if the Lord will provide. Some of you may be anxious spiritually about past or present sin and the guilt of it. And in your mind, You feel that guilt and you know your sin, and Satan comes to accuse you, to testify against you, and he wants to isolate you in your guilt that maybe nobody knows about. He wants to isolate you in it, keep you by yourself, on your own thoughts. Don't go seek help, and you're afraid. That's a burden too, isn't it? Fear. Fear of judgment, fear of punishment, fear of eternity. What are your cares tonight? Sometimes we grapple so much with our cares that we forget that God's in control and has in his providence even allowed certain things to befall us. We fail to recognize with Lord's Day 10 that they have come through his fatherly hand, not sin, but these other cares. So these things in life that we can be burdened down with, they come actually from him to us. Notice Peter doesn't say God's cares or my cares. He's talking about your care. The cares that God has given to you in his providence. Personal cares. Maybe you can relate to this personal aspect of these cares when you say, nobody understands me. There are wonderful people in my life, but they just don't get it. Because it's my, personally, my care. And with Jeremiah, you say, there is no sorrow like unto my sorrow. It's true that there are cares that are in your life that nobody can take away from you because they're yours very personally. And sometimes when you look at that, you may feel alone because nobody else can really enter into your mind and your experience of your cares, and then you may ask why. You may not even know why you have to go through this particular care, this particular burden on your back, and that too can be difficult. Not having answers, not understanding, wishing it different. But remember then that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And providence, John Flavel said, needs to be read backwards. Afterward. So often, afterwards, when you look back. Then, and not until then. Then will you see that his way was perfect. I'm sure you've heard of the ornamental rug. The illustration how if you take one of these beautiful rugs, like an area rug, and you flip it over and you look on the bottom of it, it's a mess. Mess of threads and colors. It doesn't make any sense. It's how we look at life. But from the top, God knows what he's doing. As for God, his way is perfect. He is a shield and a buckler to all that put their trust in him. He knows what he's doing. Even if you don't understand your cares, he does. In fact, he's given you an affliction or a trial. And you know what? He's monitoring it the whole time. You think God's forgotten me. He's just sunk this on my shoulders and left me to myself. No, he hasn't. He's monitoring you. He's got all the gauges on you, so to speak. He's measured your shoulders. He's given you a burden to match, and he fully understands what he's given you. His eye is on you, even in the furnace. And he is near, even when you don't feel it. He's in full control. That's a rich comfort. Imagine if God had no control, if trials just happened to us randomly by what they call fate. We don't believe in fate. We believe in providence. Well, if it was the other way, there would be nothing but despair. But God is in control. Whatever you're facing, even tonight, he knows and he cares. Let that comfort you. But Peter gives us a verb, casting. That's our second point, our calling. What do we do with our cares? It's a valid question. Because there's lots of different ways to respond to your cares. Many wrong ways to deal with your cares. How do you respond? Well, some people get upset, or they get angry or resentful, and growing in their hearts so easily can be a root of bitterness towards God, or a root of unjust envy towards those who don't have my care. And so often we're blinded to the fact that they have other cares suited for them. But we don't see those. We just see that they don't have ours. And then envy can spring up. But that's not what Peter calls us to here. He calls us to something else. Some people have endless questions. They ask, why? Why me? Why this? Why now? Why not something else? It's a very natural response. And we can begin there. We can ask the question, why? I think it's healthy to do. But we can't end in that question. Because in the end, we must be content to leave it with the Lord. And it depends, too, how we ask the question, don't we? It doesn't it? Because think of Christ. He asked the question, why? He's on the cross. And he says, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't sin. It wasn't sin. And yet later he commits himself to his Father. It's an expression of his anguish. And maybe you've expressed the same thing. Why, O Lord? And you can do that in a non-sinful way. Unburdening your heart to him. Actually, it's doing what the text is calling you to do. But to ask why in a defiant way, that's wrong. Other people deal with their cares by obsessing about them and letting them overrule their lives and control them and always thinking about them, and everything they do feeds back in. There's this vicious positive feedback cycle where the burden just gets ballooned by their own activity. It can actually make them far worse than God meant them to be. And still others, they try to seek escape. Escape by seeking joys and pleasures. Escape by seeking the numbing of the mind, and we see the evidence on the streets around us, congregation. There are ways of trying to deal with your burdens, but they're not what Peter here calls us to. They're all the wrong way. Peter gives us wise and biblical advice, the way to cope with our cares. He says, casting all your care upon him, that is, upon the Lord. What does it mean, congregation, to cast your care on the Lord? Well, the sense in which Peter uses this word casting or to throw is this: to place the responsibility for your cares into the hands of your faithful Father. To tell him, and to let him work it out. To entrust your care to him. The word in the Hebrew in Psalm 55 means to roll off, to unroll your burden. You know what it feels like when you're carrying a big pack and someone comes along and says, I'll take it, and you just roll it off onto them. That's the picture. That is to lay your care into the hands of God, who knows all things, who can do all things, who controls all things, and who has promised to provide for you when you put your trust in him. You'll never be disappointed doing what Peter here calls you to do. The best thing we can do with our cares is to commit them to God. Not first on others, or on others only. Notice Peter doesn't say, cast your care on your bosom friend, on your spouse. Cast your care on your accountant, on your doctor, on your pastor, but on the Lord. Now, all those other people in life have a place a God-given place. But ultimately, we must cast our cares into the keeping of the Lord, the one of whom we sang in our first Psalter, will preserve thee when the waves of trouble roll. He will preserve thy soul when going out or coming in. The Lord will thee deliver from henceforth and forever. That's our calling. To bring all our circumstances, all our trials, all our impossibilities, all our weaknesses, all our cares, all that which is tearing us apart to Him. And to entrust Him with all the big details and all the little details. Everything. Nothing is too small. Nothing is unimportant to the Lord. The Lord wants to hear it from us. He gives us all things in His providence, as also trials and cares. And then He says to you, I want it back. I gave it to you, now give it back to me. You know why He's the best place to bring your cares? It's because He's faithful. And He's powerful. And that's why He commands you. This isn't a suggestion. Casting all your care upon Him. He can bear them for you. He's all capable to take the responsibility of them for you. And so don't hesitate to cast your cares on Him. And the means here is primarily through prayer. Speaking to God, telling Him about your cares, laying them down at the throne of grace. That's how you cast your cares upon Him and say, Lord, this sorrow, this burden, this challenge, this job I need, this bill to pay, this relationship problem, take it, Lord, and provide for me. Take the responsibility of it, Lord. Take care of it for me. Handle it for me. I lay it at thy feet. Do you do so? Do you do that? You know, beloved, we have a way, and we're good at it, when we rise from prayer, of just gathering up all our cares again and taking them away with us. Just as full of care as when we went to prayer. What does that show? Well, it's the opposite of this text, and it actually shows lack of trust in God, doesn't it? Well, let's cast our cares upon Him. Let Him take over for us. And let's leave our cares at the throne of grace. Because He will never shut His ears to people who commit their care to Him in prayer. The proof is in the text. Peter adds these beautiful words, for He careth for you. Showing here the heart of the Lord, the care that God has for all those who put their trust in Him. Is there anyone who cares like He does, beloved? Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? There's not one to be found. True for the material and the earthly cares, the physical cares, and also the spiritual cares. For your sins, for your guilt, for your eternal welfare, He's the one to go to bring those struggles you may have. That's the wonder of this promise. It's not just something for this life. This promise extends to the spiritual realm. God is a God able to bear all your cares, physical and spiritual, for your soul too. And He says to you tonight, cast all your spiritual needs, your eternal welfare upon Me. Give Me responsibility for your sin. Let Me handle them. You may feel unworthy. You may feel paralyzed spiritually. You don't know what to do. You may feel sinful, over sinful. You may feel dirty. You may feel ashamed. You may feel so guilty, guilt-ridden. You may feel wicked. You may feel cold. You may feel indifferent and even hard. But that doesn't change the fact that there is a fountain for sin and for uncleanness opened in Jesus Christ, also for your spiritual cares. And there's not a sin in this world that if you bring it to Him, He can't wash it clean. Wouldn't it be wonderful? How liberating! What a relief to know that your eternal state before God is well and you can die. Sinner here tonight, oh, to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Wouldn't that be a relief? It would take such a burden that's always hanging over your head away. He's calling you tonight. Cast it on Him. Because He cares for you, also spiritually. He can give you the perfect, precious, uplifting sense of the assurance of salvation to know that also for you, God is your God forever and ever, and He will be your guide even to death. Full pardon. And you can hardly walk out of here tonight and leave that here in this room. No, you can't. It's a calling. God calls you. He claims you by the gospel. Turn ye, for why will you die? Bring your cares to me, and you will live. Maybe you say, well, how do I know that's true for me? Can you give me some proof that God cares for me? Not just these people Peter was writing to? Well, dear one, the greatest proof that God cares for you is seen at Calvary. There the care of the triune God for His creatures was manifest in the highest and the greatest way. See the care of the Father for you as He forsakes His only begotten Son, making Him full of care, making Him full of the burden of sin, so that you can bring your care to Him. See the care of the Lord Jesus as He endures the cross, despising the shame, to bring many sons to glory. He had no rest, so that you can have rest, dear one. He suffered and died in order to make your salvation possible, and He carries that message through the ages, from church to church, and He converts people, and He converts people through the early church, through the Middle Ages, and the message goes on, and here it comes through the Reformation and our forefathers, and here it lands tonight in Chilliwack on your ears. He's done this because He cares for you. Oh, He cares for you. His sufferings and death prove it, and the preaching of this gospel proves it. And so let us cast all our cares on the Lord. You know the beautiful thing here, child of God, as you live your life and you bump into different cares, some shorter, some longer, some very long. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that the Lord Jesus Christ, your high priest, was tempted in all points just like you are. In other words, it's not just that God says He cares. It's that He can demonstrate that He cares because He, in Jesus Christ, went through it. He was in all points tempted like you are. He can identify. He can be touched with all the feelings of your infirmities. Now, this doesn't mean that the Lord promises to keep every burden from us or to spare us from any trials whatsoever? No. We've already established, and our experience proves it, that the contrary. We have burdens. We have cares in this life. We don't go through life without any trouble. But God has promised Not a smooth journey, but a safe arrival. Life has many ups and downs. Life is nothing more than a continual death, one of our forms says. But the Lord has promised, I care for you. Rest there. Lay your life, body and soul, into His hands. And say, Lord, take this care. Manage it for me. Handle it, Lord. And take this care here too. And manage it for me too. Take the responsibility for it. And remember me in thy grace. And then someone's going to say, but I have so many cares. Isn't there too many there for the Lord? Oh, the Lord never tires of your coming. People do that, you know. Maybe you've done it. People say, oh, here comes so-and-so again with another care. Not God. One man wrote, God's nature is such that our often coming to Him does not tire Him. In fact, it delights Him. He delights to hear prayer lifted up to Him. When you lay your needs before Him, He will hear. For He has said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy care, outstripping and outdoing any care from other human beings, even those dearest to us. That Thou art that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who has called us even tonight to cast all our cares upon Thee. We thank Thee for that promise and that reassurance. Thou art the God who cares for us, willing to take all our cares and manage them for us. Settle these words on our hearts, we pray. And may they lead to the bringing of our cares to Thee. Fruit rising from this text by Thy Spirit's blessing. Please forgive our sins and be with us in this night and the week to come, and carry us on Thy shoulders, we pray.